And we turn for our text to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 7 and verse 23. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John the Baptist had been put in prison. Sometimes when people are taken prisoner in war or even killed in a battle, it seems that the battle, the skirmish they're involved in, is not central to the actual attack or the actual fight or the actual war. And that you've been killed or badly injured almost for nothing, because it was a side skirmish. Now, of course, all skirmishes in war have to do with the final push, the final defence, the final battle. John the Baptist had not really been put in prison directly because of preaching the gospel. It was a necessary concomitant of what he'd been doing, that he had rebuked the elder, the ruler, Herod, for taking his brother's wife illegitimately. And for that he was put in prison. And he did it early on. Very, very soon after Jesus began his ministry, the ministry to which he was supposed to point. And one can understand that being laid aside, as we might say, put in prison at such a crucial juncture, for such a side effect, so to speak, of the gospel, rather than in the direct preaching of it, that he was there languishing in prison. His disciples were allowed to come and see him, and they could visit him in the prison. The disciples constantly reported to him the things that the Lord Jesus did. And not the least of them was the raising of the dead young man in the village of Nain. And we then read that John called two of his disciples to him and sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he who should come, or look we for another?" And the famous commentator Gill cannot bring himself to believe that John, who was called by God to the ministry of preparing the way for the Saviour, would ever have any doubts. And he therefore seeks to explain this passage by saying it was the disciples who had the doubts, and he was incapable of ministering to their doubts in the situation in which he was. So he thought it best to send two of them, that they might see Jesus for themselves and understand for the curing of their doubts. But the passage doesn't actually quite read like that, in my judgment. It seems to me that it does read as if John had his doubts. It is possible, in the midstream of life, I wouldn't think that he was middle-aged if he was just those few months older than Jesus, and Jesus died at 33 or thereabouts, John Baptist would not be old. But there is such a thing as a middle-aged familiarity, a discontentedness with the things that are, that can lead one to question what you've done with your life, and not only what you've done with your life, but all the foundations on which life has been built, and so on. And maybe it was that languishing in prison and only ever meeting his disciples, nobody else, maybe John did wonder, seeing that the Lord Jesus was not the great captain, the great warrior, the great deliverer of the nation, that many, possibly he among them, had to some degree expected. And so maybe he also wonders, and he sends the messengers to Jesus on his own behalf, as well as on behalf of his disciples, asking, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" The answer Jesus gives is very helpful to all of us. Because the very things he lists as being sufficient to ensure that they understood that Jesus was the one whom God had sent as Messiah, the reason he gives is the very reason that these signs are given. Things that only God could do. In the same hour he cured many of their infirmities, plagues, evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. I'm referring to the previous day, the dead are raised. These are the true signs. Whatever you may think about what the Messiah ought to do, these are the true signs that the Lord is blessing the ministry. And with those words, he sends them away, except that there is our text attached to the end of the words. And so, go and tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So whether to John or whether to his disciples, he reduces it to the singular, to the response of each individual. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Wherever in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament, we come across the word blessed, our ears should listen very carefully. Blessed means the real favor of God. It means the interest of God on our behalf. And wherever he uses that word blessed, we may be sure that he's describing those who have the favor of God with them. Now, of course, you know that the Lord began all the Sermon on the Mount with these Beatitudes. And there are a whole list of those who would be blessed. And for the most part, they run counter to natural thinking. You can read them for yourself in Matthew 5. And then you will particularly recall, I'm sure, the words that are addressed to us in particular down the years, but the words spoken to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because Thomas said he needed to see before he would believe. And here the Lord addresses something which he knows is very close to the fallen human nature. That men and women, boys and girls, are easily offended by the Lord Jesus. They can be embarrassed by the mention of his name, or it may be that they're offended because of what he teaches. It may be they're offended because they want to keep him with those with whom they mix, and those with whom they mix are offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever the response, this message of Jesus is unequivocal. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Of course, you can put it the opposite way around. I won't say that the opposite of blessed is cursed, but in some way there is great detriment to those who are offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to check ourselves concerning our response. There is that in our inward nature that does recoil about things that the Lord Jesus Christ says or does. Primarily, we recoil because we do not see the Lord Jesus doing the things which our prejudice expected him to do. We can hardly use prejudice of John the Baptist, but he had expected, as did his disciples and Jesus' own disciples, to see the Lord putting down the Roman Empire. They understood even that his kingdom would surpass that of the Roman Empire, which it has done and will do. But they expected to see it in a particular way, that they would be delivered. He didn't come up to their expectations. He didn't come up to their perceptions, but it was their expectations, their perceptions, that were misplaced. Maybe the Lord Jesus does not come up to our perception of what he should be like, and therefore we are offended. For example, it's easy to take on board the truth that God is love. And seeing that God is love, he cannot be angry with the wicked every day. He cannot refuse to have some in heaven. Yet the Lord teaches that those whom he loves are his sheep, those who were given him, those whom he knows. And he says to some of them, ye are not my sheep. My sheep would not act like that. You are not mine. And therefore we think, that's not how a saviour should be. That's not how my idea of what God is like should be. And of course we're offended in him. And there may be a number of ideas that we have that make us decide that the Lord Jesus is offensive to us. It may be what he teaches about particular sin. It will be so in this generation. Things to do with transgender, things to do with homosexuality, all the things that are to do with fornication, all these things which the Lord Jesus speaks of in a long list in some of the chapters in the Bible, Matthew and Luke. And also, of course, not only Jesus, but taking over from his teaching, the later books of the New Testament speak all of these things. But they are an offence to those who want to do them, and who believe that their lifestyle is as good as anybody else's. The idea that if you're a Christ person, you have to align yourself to his teaching is anathema to them. Else how is it that you get so-called Christian homosexuals? How is it that you get all these folks who can say that they're Christians but don't do any of the things that Jesus clearly taught? If they were to be brought to that standard, then they would be offended. Peter, we looked at the passage this morning, speaks of these things. Let me just read you the passage again like it was read this morning. In 1 Peter 2, verse 6, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. So the main cause of stumbling is that of being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ's teaching. It's that of stumbling at his word, stumbling at his teaching. Because we have a different concept of what a Saviour should be like, of what one who is sent in the image of God should do. But of course our ways are fallen. Our ways are evil. And so Jesus says to individuals, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The word offended is our word taken letter for letter, brought into our language as scandalized. The word means something that you would trip over, something that you would fall over, anything that might, perhaps because you don't notice it, perhaps because it's not where you thought it would be, you make a misjudgment, but anything that you might trip over. And the Lord Jesus speaks of people tripping over him, falling over because of him, because the things that he stands for, the things that he teaches, the things that he preaches, they willfully will not believe, are disobedient. So the call of the gospel is to sinners to come to the Lord Jesus. The call of the gospel is for sinners to come and confess their sin and repent. And it's here that the decision has to be made. Shall I confess what I do as sin and repent for the sake of the Saviour and for the sake of pardon which he gives? Or shall I carry on my resistance? Shall I carry on my own likes and my own intentions and not come to the Saviour? Of course, there is a blessing, an untold blessing, in being saved. And therefore, the person who is not offended in Christ, who comes as a sinner, who lays down his sins and confesses that they are sins before the Lord Jesus Christ, and pleads the merits of his blood, that he made an offering for him, that he stood in his stead and bore his punishment. Any who come prepared to deal with their sins in this way will find a great blessing, the love of God poured out, a welcome home. They will find that they're reconciled to God, that God will receive them through his only dear Son, that God will bless them exceeding abundantly. But those who will not come, those who find Jesus offensive, as it has to be said, a great number do, an increasing number in our day, those who find Jesus offensive are on the way of hell, are on the way from which there is no return once it's, their life is ebbing away. Those who are not offended in Jesus alone are blessed. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We can't say, well, I will have a religion, I'll have a God which permits me to do those things that Jesus won't permit. I will follow some other God. But there's none other Saviour. No other God is acceptable. We're adding sin to sin in the sight of God by snubbing his Son. We are adding a sin even worse to the sins we've already committed. it was a gentle rebuke of the Lord Jesus to John the Baptist and his disciples. And he takes it from being general to being particular to anybody who was listening and to anybody who now comes to read the scriptures. But we all must understand that the blessing lies only upon those who are not offended by Jesus Christ. And may we be numbered among such. Amen.